WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc. Videos from this interview are available at youtube.com/WNRN Radio.
In the WNRN studios this morning, Tokyo Rosenthal. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Good to have you here this morning. I got your most recent album, Ghosts, either late last year or early this year. But this was the first album I had ever encountered from you. But this is actually your third album that you've put out?
It's the third record. I had an album called Love One Out before that, and before that an album called One Score and Ten. And there was actually an EP prior to that, too, that had a few songs on it. So I've been around a while. For those of you who can't see me, I'm very old.
You come from North Carolina. What area of North Carolina are you from?
Chapel Hill.
So that probably, you know, gives, there's a lot of kind of Chapel Hill folks on here. Chris Stamey to be probably the most recognizable. But I also noticed Peter Hulsapple's name on here.
Peter's on there. Of course, Chris, as you mentioned, both played bass on every track and co-produced with me. And a great fiddle player named Bobby Britt, who literally lives across the street from Chris. He's this tall drink of water. He's all of 25 years old, and he's just an incredible fiddle player. He's been on all three of my records, and just blows me away.
So what I was reading last night when I was kind of studying up was a lot of folks in North Carolina know you and like your music an awful lot, but you've been taking what you call the Coal Miner Daughters Tour, which is to do what you're doing right now, which is come visit folks like myself and say hi and play live and introduce your music.
Well, the record label and my radio promoter, Brad Hunt, they like tossed me in the car, and sometimes, as you can see in the studio, my wife Carrie's here. Sometimes she comes, sometimes she doesn't come with me, which gets very lonesome for me. But we go out in the car, and just like Loretta Lynn, we go from station to station, visiting nice people like yourselves, and playing a few songs live, and spinning a few off a disc, and move on to the next station. It's a great way of both promoting your album, getting to meet the people personally, so when your next record comes out, they know who you are. And you're reaching thousands of people at once. You know, I'm not playing stadiums when I'm gigging, so it's much better for me to be live on the radio, actually, than playing in the clubs, but I do both.
We've got Tokyo Rosenthal live in the WNRN studios this morning. A tune for us? What are you going to play first?
Well, I'm of the firm belief, I have to give this one a little introduction here, that every fan, every musician should have an unconditional fan. Mine's very cliched because it's my mother. And so if you're down in Florida and you see a little 81-year-old redhead woman running around the parking lot, don't go near her because she'll drag you in the car and make you listen to my CDs. So mom is very spiritual, much unlike me, and she's always dealing with adversity. And one day she calls up. She goes, you know, you don't have to wait, Tok. And she actually calls me Tokyo, too, which was not the name I had when I came out of her womb, I want you to know. But she's taken to calling me that, especially when she wants to get something. So she goes, you know, Tok, you don't have to wait until I die to write a song about me. And I said, you know, Ma, I don't just put them in the oven and they come out. But finally, I got one that worked, and it's on the new album, Ghost, and it's about her, and it's called Still She Thanks God.
Every draw, every door that opens brings distress. Constant guest at her address inside her little echo. And yet gets up each day, never being sure. Searching for the cures, ready for that tour that life will take her. Master how to change her hand, rearrange the cards, hard as it may give, doubling down her bed, still she thanks God. Where there was two, there now is one. I felt that loss too. Shared a view, I got pay the lieu of all the favors. Time heals all wounds. There may be more, but an open soul isn't easy, though, to stop fighting. Nursing now and caring then, the extra mile, the extra yard, my excessive fan running in the sand, still she thanks God. Comprende más, basta de vida, tiene que decir Dios gracias. Basta de vida, tiene que decir Dios gracias. Hard as it may get, I'll be hit or dead, still she thanks God.
WNRN with live music in the WNRN studios this morning with Tokyo Rosenthal. Well, let's talk a little bit about how you got this nickname. Because
I've never been asked that before.
Never? I can't imagine. Because it's unusual. And, you know, I have to say, when I saw the thing, I was like, that cannot be his real name. It could be his real last name, but not his first name. I don't too many moms or dads who, you know, think, oh, Tokyo, that's the right name for my child. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I was looking around on the web, and then up comes this something that actually corresponds to the name of your record label, Rock and Sock, and there's like a little boxing glove here. So I would imagine that that's actually how it all came about. But how about you tell the story?
Well, the semi-short version is I was a boxer and an amateur fighter, by the way. I have to set the record straight. I've got some very exuberant publicists that go out there, and they've got me like light heavyweight champion of the world and fighting on HBO. I was an amateur fighter. I don't want anybody coming up to me in a bar and punching me out or nothing. I wasn't even a good one. But that being said, I needed a nickname. And I was watching Johnny Carson one night, and he was doing a comedy routine. If all of you remember Tokyo Rose from World War II, Tokyo Rosenthal was a play on words there, and he came up with a new TV show about a Jewish-Japanese detective named Tokyo Rosenthal. And I said, wow, what a cool name. And that was 30 years ago, and I didn't know it was going to stick at the time. And it's been Tokyo. Most people just say Toke, and that's it. That's your story.
Well, it's an interesting one, though, because, it certainly captures the imagination. If nothing else, like, why does he have that name? Yeah. To keep on digging a little bit further. This new album, Ghosts, obviously, you know, you spend some time writing these songs. But one of the songs that a lot of people talk about from this new album is the one, Mr. Tell Me About the Great Depression. It's certainly a song which is kind of apropos for these times. But I understand this was written, I don't know, a year and a half ago, kind of at the end of the Bush administration?
Exactly, yeah. It was prior to Obama's election, and I wrote it, and I said, I liked what I wrote. So we ran into the studio. That song was put out prior to the album as a single, and then, of course, it's on the Ghosts album. And as you could tell, one of the reasons the album's called Ghosts is because my family has a lot to do with influencing things, people both alive and dead. And my grandfather, growing up, used to tell me a lot about his Great Depression. I don't mean the kind clinically. I'm talking about from from 1929 to actually up to World War II, for that matter. spinning all kinds of tales. Every time I would see him, he'd be telling me that stuff. And I don't think that he ever imagined, nor did I when he was telling me this, that we would have our own Great Depression, which I'm firmly convinced that we're in a depression, not a recession. It took him 2 years to tell us it was a recession. I believe that we're, and even Biden one day said, ah, this is a depression. You know, don't let him kid you. You know, and he's our vice president, obviously. So, anyway, Poppy Jack, as we called him, that was my grandfather. He, Poppy Jack had a lot to do with me coming up with this. So, actually, my version of Mr. Tell Me About the Great Depression isn't even a contemporary song. It's a future song. Picture 30 years from now, a little boy sitting on a stoop in front of somebody's house talking to some old codger, probably myself, and saying, hey, how did we get in all that trouble back in 2009? And hopefully he says just 2009 and 2010, because I don't want him to say, how did we get in that trouble from 2009 to 229 or something? You know, hopefully this will all be over soon. I want the song to have legs, but I don't want it to have that long a life. So that's how the song came together. And I guess that's a good segue for me to start playing it, eh?
Sure.
All right. Mr. Tell Me About the Great Depression.
No place to hide, no place to sit out the ride. Seems like we haven't learned our lesson. Mister, tell me about the Great Depression. Spent it all on war and oil. Put our heads in the mortgage soil. Enjoy the free lunch and ask for a pension. Mister, tell me about the Great Depression. Did we really start that war? Superpower ain't smart no more. Tell me about the Great Depression. They sat before the commission, couldn't account for the deception. Tried to print more but made no impression. Public trust, and they turned it all to rust. It came after they stole the election. Mister, tell me about the Great Depression. Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. That could have cured that tumor. Mister, tell me about the Great Depression.
WNRN. We've got Tokyo Rosenthal live in the WNRN studios this morning, and he is on his, what he calls his coal miner daughter's tour, visiting radio, and glad to be a part of that tour this morning here in Charlottesville. So tell us a little bit about the making of all of your CDs, you know, because obviously you've got a history putting these things together. When you started out, you know, were Chris Damey and Peter Hasabel already a part of your group of friends, or are these relationships that grew out of putting these CDs out over the course of time?
Well, Chris Damey was a godsend to me. Let me say that. He lives, and not by design, it turns out that he lives really down the road from me in Chapel Hill, and he's got his own studio, and even though he's got all of his own personal acclaim as a musician with the DBs and his solo stuff and his albums with Peter, he's just a fantastic producer and engineer, and he just gets great work out of me. So it started by finding Chris, really, and putting the songs together. I play a lot of instruments, but I also bring in other people for particular instruments on the outside. Peter Holsapple, unbeknownst to me, plays accordion quite well. You know, so he played accordion on a track on the album, on the title song, actually, Ghosts. Bobby Britt lived across the street from Chris, just it turned out that way. And so I found Bobby. There's a great flute player that's on Ghost named Lisa Lashow, also a friend of Chris. And, you know, as you're doing a song, I might say, gee, I hear flute on this song. And Chris will say, well, I know this great flute player, Lisa Lashow. Let's bring her in, you know. And then I wanted banjo. And oddly enough, my wife had gotten, Facebook's an incredible thing. Through Facebook, she had found somebody that she hadn't heard from in over 30 years. And it turned out, and in that 30 years, he became a great banjo player. And he was coming to visit. And I said, hey, you know, I need banjo on a couple of tracks. And there's Jim Eisenberg on playing banjo on three tracks on the record. And then, finally, one of the things that I think is great about, if you get the opportunity to do this, and I've been blessed being allowed to put out these records and get the little acclaim that I've gotten from them, you get to play with some people who are actually your idols earlier on and people who you listen to. And one of those people for me was Al Perkins, who's a great pedal steel player, was in the Flying Burrito Brothers, was in Manassas with Stephen Stills, his own personal projects, has played with everybody. And Chris happened to know Al. And I said, gee, I need pedal steel. Well, how about Al Perkins? I said, you're kidding me, aren't you? And a couple of days later, you know, Al Perkins is on the telephone calling me up and saying, hey, Toke, you know, how does this sound? And he's playing me stuff. And I'm saying, Al Perkins is asking me how things sound. It's like, it was just, you know, going to rock and roll fantasy camp for me. So that's how it came together. You know, I don't preconceive the people that are coming on there. It's just kind of piece it together as it goes.
Oh, how did that compare to the previous album, Love Went Out? I mean, similar cast of characters on the album?
A few more on the new one. You know, as you get a little bit more visible, people, you know, want to play with you a little bit more. You know, Love Went Out was my first record to break into the charts. So, and get, you know, bunch of reviews and me touring behind it and stuff. So you meet more people and people say, hey, when you do something, let's get together. But the record came together fairly similar. I think this one, Love Went Out, was was recorded more in pieces. You know, we did four tunes, took a break, came back. Ghosts, we went in and did like all 10 as they were happening, which was a little more confusing at first for me because I wasn't used to mixing 10 songs at once and mastering 10 songs and putting it all together. And, you know, so I was driving myself a little crazy, but it was fun and a little different.
We got Tokyo Rosenthal in the studios this morning here at WNRM. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more music and conversation with him in just a minute. In studio with me this morning, it is Tokyo Rosenthal. He's got a brand new album, Ghosts, out on his very own label called Rock and Sock Records. That's kind of a fun name. I know it kind of all falls into kind of the you wanting to play music and also kind of tying in the boxing thing, but that's really kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, well, it's there is a company. I don't own Rock and Sock Records. I will be clear. That's a fellow named Kenny Weiss owns Rock and Sock Records. But it's a takeoff on a company that did exist called Rock and Sock Promotions, which did boxing and music, and sort of like my life has been somewhat boxing and music. And for those of you who can't see it, it's got a very cool logo. It's a boxing glove with the little music symbol in the middle of it. And it's nice. The label came together originally because Kenny Weiss was my music publisher, and on my very first album, I had a minor hit with a song called Edmonton up in Canada. And the way that came about was, by the way, for any of you aspiring singer-songwriters out there, you want to get on the radio, write a song about a city that's never had a song written about it before, and you will get on the radio. So what happened was we got on the radio up in Edmonton with just this demo. Next thing I know, we were touring and getting the key to the city and everything up there, and we had to come up with a record label. So they put together Rock and Sock Records to facilitate Tokyo Rosenthal. So
well,
three
fun.
Albums later, here we are. You know,
so. Oh, that's kind of nice. And so I guess you've got some fans up there in Canada.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still alive, but they're, yeah. they're, you know, we're not talking to them because they beat the U.S. in the gold medal in the hockey game on Sunday.
That was a pretty great game, though.
It was. Yes, it was
very good. We've got Tokyo Rosenthal here, and one more live tune for us this morning.
Yeah, what I was thinking of doing is just turning back the clock a little bit. We talked about the second album, Love Won Out. This is a song that was somewhat influenced by the gay marriage controversy, and I think regardless of your politics, that we all must agree that everybody should have the opportunity to find out how difficult marriage is. And as my wife shoots me a dirty look as I say that, I will start the song.
Dust off that wine. Seems like you've been saving it since the start of time. All the papers have been signed. Your wrongs become your rights to count. Tell all the fools to shove their roots, 'cause love won out. Why'd you have to fight so long? Who's to say where you might have gone? On a level playing field without the shackles on. Burn a fire for your legacy. You know they'll try and blow it out. Using democracy's tools you learn in school, love won out. Base. Coming home together thanks to the Golden State. Put that ring on your finger, and now there is no doubt. Don't ask, don't tell, go to hell, 'cause love won out. Don't ask, don't tell, go to hell, 'cause love won out. Go to hell, 'cause love won out.
WNRN with live music and with Tokyo Rosenthal this morning in the WNRN studio. Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning and playing live and letting us get to know you a bit.
My pleasure, and it was great visiting Thomas Jefferson's home yesterday, too, and now off in the car to Roanoke.
Okay, well, enjoy all that the Shenandoah Valley has to offer you today, and thanks again.